right, good morning to you. Isn't this a great place to be the day after Christmas? It really is. We're glad that you've joined us here at First Church. I want to take a moment and address everyone that's joining us online. I was just on there a moment ago, and it's nice to see all you folks out there with us. And we're going to have a good, encouraging day together today. Christmas, you know, yesterday, Arlene and I, it was so nice. We had our whole family together. We had both of our children and our grandkids and even our dogs. We all got together and had Christmas. We actually went to Pittsburgh, and I told Arlene, I said, I felt like Santa driving the sleigh in my truck because the back was just totally full of food. You know, Arlene's always in charge of meals like that, of food. And all the presents, of course. And when we got to my daughter's in Pittsburgh, it was so funny. We're carrying all the presents in, you know, and Jack, my 7-year-old grandson, he saw this one present. It was about this tall, and it was about that big. And he was like, oh, whose is that? And I said, Jack, honey, I'm sorry, that's for your sister, that's Finley's. He was so disappointed, okay? It wasn't even open. He was just so disappointed that the biggest present in the whole lot was for his sister. And I told him, I said, Jack, listen, a lot of times it's the smallest presents that have the greatest gift in it, you know, and all this. And he just wasn't hearing any of it. And he kept looking at that present. He was wondering about that present. At one time he even asked me, are you sure that's Finley's? I said, yeah, that's Finley's. And then every Christmas, it's always been the same for him. He's like, he's so ready to go because he looks and makes sure he knows which ones has his name on it. And when it's time to open presents, can I open one first? Well, when it came time to open presents, we're all sitting around. We said, okay, let's open the presents. And he said, here, Finley, open this. He was so, he couldn't contain himself with not knowing what was in that box. And you can imagine his disappointment when she opened it, and it was a round piece of curved plywood that you stand on and you just kind of rock back and forth. And he's like, okay, where's one for me now, you know? Oh, man, Christmas, that was awesome. You know, but here's the thing, okay? Christmas, we're beyond Christmas now. And we got to start thinking about the new year. A couple of weeks ago, it was actually more than that. I was just doing some reading and thinking about the new year and thinking about today even. And I ran across this extended quote from Max Lucado in his old book many years ago entitled God, When God Whispers Your Name. And I thought that it was so good for today. And let me just read you this extended quote and just hang on tight and let this teach you something wonderful about today. He said, it's quiet. It's early. The coffee is hot. The sky is black. The world is still asleep. But the day is coming. In a few moments, the day will arrive. It'll roar down the track with the rising of the sun. The stillness of the dawn will be exchanged with the noise of the day. The calm of solitude will be replaced by the pounding pace of the human race. The refuge of the early morning will be invaded by decisions to be made and deadlines to be met. For the next 12 hours, I will be exposed to the day's demands. It is now that I must make a choice. Because of Calvary, I'm free to choose. And so I choose. I choose love. No occasion justifies hatred. No injustice warrants bitterness. I choose love. Today I will love God and love what God loves. I choose joy. I will invite my God to be the God of the circumstances of my life. I will refuse the temptation to be cynical, the tool of the lazy thinker. I will refuse to see people as anything less than human beings created by God. I'll refuse to see any problem as anything less than an opportunity to see God working. I choose peace. I will live forgiven. I will forgive so that I may live. I choose patience. I will overlook the inconveniences of the world. Instead of cursing the one who takes my place, I'll invite him to do so. Rather than complain that the wait is too long, I'll thank God for a moment to pray. Instead of clenching my fist at new assignments, I will face them with joy and courage. I choose kindness. I will be kind to the poor, for they are alone. I'll be kind to the rich, for they are afraid. And kind to even the unkind, for such is how God has treated me. I choose goodness. I'll go without a dollar before I take a dishonest one. I'll be overlooked before I will boast. I will confess before I accuse. I choose goodness. I choose faithfulness. Today I will keep my promises. My debtors will not regret their trust in me. My associates will not question my word. My wife will not question my love. And my children will never fear that their father will not come home. I choose gentleness. Nothing is won by force. I choose to be gentle. If I raise my voice, may it only be in praise. If I clench my fist, may it only be in prayer. If I make a demand, may it be only of myself. I choose self-control. I am a spiritual being, and after this body is dead, my spirit will soar. I refuse to let what will rot rule the eternal. I choose self-control. I will not be drunk only by joy. I will be impassioned only by my faith. I'll be influenced only by God. I'll be taught only by Christ. I choose self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. To these I commit my day. If I succeed, I'll give thanks. If I fail, I will seek His grace. And then when this day is done, I'll place my head on my pillow and rest. Two things about that. Number one, man, I wish I could write things like that, don't you? Max Lucado is a master with words. But the second thing that I was struck by this is how every day is a choice to be better than before. And I was thinking about that in relation to a new year, and I was thinking about how easy it is. You know, we set our resolutions every year. You know, I'm going to do this different. I'm going to do this better. I'm going to accomplish this. I'm going to give up this. I'm going to give myself more to this thing and less to this other thing. But how we can so easily become discouraged when we fail. You know, I read not too long ago that it takes an addict at least nine times of rehab, nine times of starting over, nine times of momentary periods where sobriety is their friend, and then they fall, and then sometime they determine that they're going to start all over and they're going to do it again. Nine times. How easy it is for us to face a new year and become so disillusioned, so discouraged by our momentary failures that we just stop trying. But Max Lucado says here how every day, the end of every day, is a day to lay your head down on your pillow and say, God, thank you. God, forgive me. And God gives us a brand new moment in time to try again each and every day. You know, as I think about that, and as I think about here we are on this beginning of a brand new year coming up this coming weekend, next weekend, how our life is made up of the choices we make. Someone once said that your life is the sum total of the choices you make. Better choices today, better choices tomorrow, better life. Difficult choices today that are not what God wants for you, and things become more difficult. We have to choose. And when I think about the Word of God, I came upon this passage and it really kind of set a fire within me, and I hope it'll do the same with you. It's the saying of Joshua in Joshua chapter 24. And the stage here is that Joshua is talking to the people of God. He's talking to the elders, and he's talking to them about what they've come out of and what they're coming into, and how so many people are holding on to the past. Look at what he says to them here in verse number 15. He says, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve." You know, when I used to read that passage as a child, I used to think, my goodness, who would ever choose that? But we live in a world today where lots of people are choosing not to serve God, not to honor Him. Maybe even that they know that He's true, they know that He exists, but they're choosing a different way. And here Joshua says, listen, if serving the Lord is undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites. He's saying either the gods that the people worshiped and we worshiped with them when we were in captivity, or the people who are around us today that are serving and worshiping false gods, make your choice. But he says, but as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. Joshua's statement here is a declaration of saying, listen, I choose to live by faith in God and in God alone. And it's a choice that we must make every day. And listen, God knows it's a choice that we fail at so often. But we got to realize, we got to believe that we can keep getting ourselves up, we can stand up, we can start over, we can ask for forgiveness, we can seek His grace, and we can go on. And eventually we can get there. I have a case study for you this morning. I love to do this sometimes. Sometimes when I get these kind of subjects in my mind, I think, okay, who in the Bible really just exemplifies this? And man, I got one for you here this morning. I want to march with you through the book of Matthew and just make some comments about choices related to the life of Peter. Simon Peter. You know, we're introduced to Simon Peter in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus is calling disciples, and he's going to call James and John, the brothers, right? We all know them. But just prior to that, Jesus comes upon another set of brothers, Peter and Andrew, and they're fishermen. And Jesus says something to them very, very peculiar. He says, "I will make you fishers of men." He said, "Come follow me." You know, that had to be an unusual statement to Peter. "I will make you fishers of men." Someone asked me one time, said, "Do I think that there'll be fishing in heaven?" You know, it's such a prominent subject in the Bible. And I said, well, I'm not sure about that. But boy, I know, I sure hope there's golf in heaven. Golf courses are beautiful. And my friend said to me, he said, John, it doesn't say in the Bible, I'll make you golfers of men. I'll make you fishers of men. But that statement must have intrigued Peter, because it says right away there, and you can read it in Matthew chapter 4, right away it says that Peter and Andrew, they acknowledged what Jesus had said, and they left their nets, and they followed him. And you know what? In Jesus, in his omniscient, all-knowing heart and mind, he knew Peter. He knew his reluctance to get it the first time. He knew his tendency to sticking his foot in his mouth. He knew and understood his impetuousness that just led him to just launch out before really counting the cost. But he wanted Peter on his team. You know, it's amazing, because if you continue the story of Peter, we see him next. Well, we see him a lot of places, but in Matthew chapter 10, there's a peculiar verse here about Peter. It's in verse number 2. And what it is, Matthew is listing the apostles. And he lists them, and the list is always consistent, whoever's making the list. The first one on the list is always Peter. You know who last on the list always? Judas. Kind of obvious, isn't it? But yet Peter here is always listed as the first of the apostles. Peter was the one later on in the New Testament that the apostle Paul, you know, had to come to. Peter was the head of the table when it came to the leaders of the early church. Matthew chapter 14, beautiful instance where the disciples are in a boat, great storm comes upon the boat. They're very afraid, and all of a sudden they see a figure on the water. In other places, it tells us that some of the disciples, is that Jesus? Is that a ghost? Who is this? What is this? Is that it real? You know what Peter said? I want to walk on the water. Jesus, if that is you, bid me come to you. And Peter got out of that boat and he walked on the water. What a tremendous moment of faith in his life. And certainly, you know, he can teach us a lot about walking above our problems, about walking above the storms in life, of keeping our eyes on Jesus, of not letting the things of the storms in our life to take our attention off of him, because that's when we fail, that's when we fall. You know, think about it, the choice that Peter made, I want to walk on the water, was a wonderful choice, but then the choice that he made after that of focusing on the surrounding circumstances is what led to him sinking in the water. Man, what a beautiful story. If you turn over just a few chapters in Matthew chapter 17, you read about Jesus going up on the mountain. And he takes just a few disciples with him, leaves the rest down at the bottom. But one of the few was Peter. The Mount of Transfiguration. They saw the glory of God come upon the person of Jesus. It was Peter that actually spoke up and said, whoa, let's build an altar, right? Because this is a time to worship. This is a time to remember. This is something to always honor. Peter had so many high moments. But then when he fell, man, he fell hard. Have you ever know? I've actually done this in my life. I've examined things that have happened to me, And every problem that I've ever experienced in life has something to do with my mouth. Now, you could do that because I would say that's probably true for you too. And you know what? When you come to Matthew 26, it is incredible what we read about Peter here, because Peter's life is like a roller coaster. He's like you. He's like me. Great highs, great lows. Good choices that lead to good things and bad choices that lead to bad things. Matthew 26, just a few little examples here. Verse 33, Jesus is talking about how he's going to be denied, how he's going to be forsaken, how he's going to be betrayed. Verse 33, what does Peter say? Oh, not me. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I would die before that happens. Verse 37, Jesus takes his disciples out into the Garden of Gethsemane. He takes those three again a little further into the garden, and he says to them, he says, watch and pray. And then he goes into the garden, and we know what happens there. He prays this tremendous prayer to God the Father. He bleeds drops of sweat that are blood. And he comes back, and Peter and the others are yawning. And he says to them, what? Could you not watch and pray for 1 hour? Peter had to feel so bad. Then all of a sudden, Jesus is aware of a crowd coming, and he said, it is time, they are here. Judas comes in with the soldiers and gives Jesus a kiss, signifying that he's the one. And as they're trying to or beginning to arrest Jesus, what does good old Peter do? He jumps out, pulls a sword, and he lops off the ear of one of the soldiers. And Jesus says to him, what? You live by the sword, you die. Jesus was coming to give a different way. You know, I'm sure you've had these experiences, haven't you? You've jumped out and you've done something that you think is appropriate and right and enthusiastic and honorable, and all of a sudden it's like, what are you doing? You're like, oh, I'm really sorry about that. Peter standing in the background, humiliated. And then in verse 69, after Jesus is arrested, Peter's kind of tagging along to see what's happening. And from a distance, a young girl says, wait, he's one. He was with this man. And Peter says, that wasn't me. He denies Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. And then the Bible indicates that he catches the gaze of Jesus. And he is struck by the choices that he's made. But here's the thing, folks. As we launch into a new year, I want you to know that Jesus is for you. He has something for you. He has something grand for you. And we need to make sure that we know that he has not given up on us. It's so interesting because Jesus is crucified. He is buried. He rose again. We see this interchange between Peter and John. You know, they run and they go to the tomb and, you know, are not sure exactly what's happened. And Jesus tells the women to go and tell the disciples that he's alive. And as they are told to go tell the disciples, do you remember what they said? What he said? And Peter. Tell the disciples, but make sure you tell Peter. I think that's because Jesus has something grand for him. And folks, listen, God has something grand for us as well. You know, as Peter stood there having denied Jesus, you need to think about it and ask yourself, what, whatever happened to Peter? Whatever happened to Peter? Well, in the short term, we see him pop up on the day of Pentecost. On Acts chapter 2, the Bible simply says that Peter stood and addressed the crowd. You need to read that sermon. I don't have time to go through all of that this morning, but it says he stood and he addressed the crowd. And full of every choice that he'd ever made, every moment that he had lived rightly, every moment that he had lived not as God intended, full of Jesus' invitation that I'll make you fishers of men, he stood before this vast body of water full of these human fish. And Peter finally becomes who Jesus knew that he could be all along. And the people responded, "What must we do to be saved?" And Peter responded, "Believe and be baptized into Jesus Christ." Folks, Jesus chose this man to launch his mighty church in the early days. What became of Peter? Well, we're not quite totally sure, but there's a lot of things out there about what he became. He certainly became the great leader in the early church. He certainly was martyred for his faith. It says that he chose to be crucified upside down, because he did not feel worthy to be crucified in the same manner of Jesus. But here's the thing, folks. It's all about choices. Peter made a lot of choices that embarrassed him, that embarrassed others, that made him feel bad, that made others wonder about him. But Jesus never wondered. He knew his potential. And it's by our choices that we reach our potential in Jesus Christ. So here's my desire for all of you today. As we launch into this new year, let's choose our choices well. Let's make our choices well, knowing that God has a grand design that He wants us to be a part of. But it takes our will and the free will that He's given us for us to become part of that as He fully intended. And a lot of times, folks, it just simply depends on us waking up in the day knowing that we're covered by His grace and His mercy. And by choosing today, and maybe even choosing again today, To do what we know He wants us to do. Peter finally got there. Will we? Will you? Will I get there as well? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, what a joy it is to study the lives of beautiful people like Peter. God, you didn't choose people because of their ability to be perfect. You chose them, Lord, because of their potential. And God, we all have that God-given potential inside of us to be something wonderful in you. And dear Lord, I just pray that we'll just know that you're giving us everything that we need to accomplish all of that. And Father, may we declare our allegiance to you right now as we sing and share together. In Jesus' holy name, amen.